Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. So glad to see y'all today. And welcome to those of you who are joining online. We're excited to have you worshiping with us as well. I'm Hammett Evans. I'm the senior pastor here at Asbury. And what a wonderful, cold, snappy day to be in church. Today's sermon, Brother Nick is going to be preaching for us. He's continuing our Uniting to Serve series. And he's going to be talking about our future commitments, and also with a focus on youth missions today, and I'm excited to hear that. I do want to encourage you to sign in this morning. You can do that if you're here in the sanctuary by filling out the Connect tab, or you can also scan a QR code that's on the Connect tab as well, and that'll let you do that electronically. If you are worshiping online, there's a QR code on your screen that you can use to sign in, let us know you're here. There's also an opportunity for you to share any prayer concerns with us, and you're more than welcome to do that. We want to encourage you to do that as well. We have several things coming up in the life of our church family. First of all, our 40th anniversary here at Napa Valley will be on November 21st, and that morning at 10 a.m., we're going to live stream the very first worship service held in the sanctuary, and so we want to encourage you to watch it. It'll be at 10 a.m., and that's at exactly the same time 40 years later, and I'll tell you, David Wilson, we were so blessed to have him with us last week. When the vision team watched that sermon from that day, it was like Reverend Wilson was talking to us today. And so I really want to encourage you to make that a part of your Thanksgiving week festivities. It'll be great. I do want to take just a moment to recognize our veterans. Veterans Day was Friday. And so if you have ever served in any of our armed forces, would you please stand and let us recognize you? We appreciate your service. Also, Advent is coming up. Advent begins 2 weeks from today, and this year I'm really excited because we have a full slate of Advent activities. So if you saw it on the calendar back in 2019, it's probably going to be on the calendar in 2022. Amen and hallelujah. That begins on the 27th, which is the first Sunday of Advent. We will have our first Advent dinner since 2019 here in the Wilson Activity Center, and that will be at 5 o'clock. Followed by our Hanging of the Green service. That will be here in the sanctuary at 6 or whenever everybody finishes eating. So 5 o'clock for the dinner and then about 6 o'clock for our Hanging of the Greens. There, all of the Advent activities were mentioned in the 5 Things You Need to Know email this week. And so please be attentive to those and go ahead and get those on your calendar. And then Carol Godwin has wanted me to let you know that the family-to-family boxes are ready to be picked up, and those are available. Nick, do you remember? Nick can't hear. Does anybody remember where they are? You know where the family-to-family box, they're in the back. They're across from the donuts right now. So if you want to pick up a family-to-family box, I'm supposed to do that today as well. We want to encourage you to do that. Be sure and grab the list so that you know what goes in there. Well, it's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a crisp, cold day. And it's always a good day to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ. And let's begin.
Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Let us give thanks to God for the land of our birth with all its chartered liberties, for all the wonder of our country's story. We give thanks, O God, for leaders in nation and state, and for those who in days past and in these present times have labored for the commonwealth. We give thanks, O God, for those who in all times and places have been true and brave, and in the world's common ways have lived upright lives and ministered to their fellows. We give thanks, O God, for those who served their country in its hours of need, and especially for those who gave even their lives in that service.
We give thanks, O God.
Please remain standing for the hymn of praise on number 717. Pray together the prayer of invocation. O eternal God, in whose appointment our life stands, and who committed our work to us, we commit our cares to you. We thank you that we are children, and that you have assured us that, while we are intent upon your will, you will heed our wants. Fill us with a compassion for others' troubles, which comes from forgetfulness of our own. With the charity of those who know their own unworthiness, and God, hope of the children of eternity, and to you, the beginning and the end, the Lord of the living, refuge of the dying, be thanks and praise forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God, you are gracious and you are good. You are abounding in love, and you are the hope for our future. God, we thank you, for we know that all that we are and all that we have is a gift from your hands. We thank you for seeing us through the last 3 years and for bringing us out into a good place where we continue to see your blessings each and every day. We pray for our church family that we will be faithful to your call and to the hopes and dreams of those who followed us here before. And God, we pray, giving you thanks, that you give us the tools that we need, and you give us the guidance we need each and every day to face the challenges that lie ahead. We pray that during this season, you will renew our hearts, renew our hopes, renew our dreams for doing your work in your world through this church family. God, we do lift up all of those who are ill or are in special need of your grace. We pray especially for those members of our church family and others who are close to our hearts. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith, for June Glazier, for Barbara Clark, Val Carr, Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, David Hickman, Mary Curtis, Scott Odena, and Edith Roberts. Be with these and others. Give them your grace. And even more, may we be your hands and your feet. May we speak your words of comfort and assurance. And may we be the people of hope that you call us to be through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now it's my privilege to welcome Rachel Hoff, who will come to share today's stewardship message with us.
Hello everyone, I'm Rachel Hoff. I've been asked to come and talk about a mission / stewardship moment. People have gotten a little tired of seeing my grandpa come up here, so thought I might give him a little break. So this summer I did go on two of the youth mission trips. I went to Puerto Rico and I went to Rogers, Arkansas for OMP. While on the mission trips, I painted a bunch of houses, I worked on a farm, and I built a 13-foot wheelchair ramp. I did paint a total of 3 houses while on both of the trips, and let me tell you, I was picking paint out of my hair for days afterward. But I really thought it was worth it, because when I saw the neighbors' faces after seeing their houses being painted, it really, really gives you this feeling that God is working within you. It just opens your eyes to see how something so small to you can really impact someone's life in a monumental way. And it just shows you that sometimes you have to serve others through God instead of just talking about it, that it really impacts you so deeply. And I just think it's amazing how that happens. And I know I'm not the only one, but every time I come back from a mission trip, I always have like a refreshed faith and a new viewpoint on my day-to-day life and how I can be more Christ-like. And I always come back with from these mission trips with a bunch of dirty laundry too, so. I really do acknowledge that these mission trips have really impacted my faith over the past few years. And I just really think that if you haven't been on a mission trip, I don't think it's too late. You can always help. And so I really want to thank everyone here, because I know with your donations and stuff, the youth have been able to do a lot more things in recent years, impacting a lot of people more than you know it. So the verse from 1 Corinthians 15:58, you must stand firm, unshakable, excelling in the work of the Lord as always. I really think that speaks true volumes, that even if you do something small, it really does impact everyone if you do it in the Lord through him. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Believe it or not, I went on an OMP trip with your mother years ago when she was about your age, and it's quite a blessing to see your spirit and your witness as well. Today, Brother Nick is going to share a story about Paul and Barnabas, and they were there were many obstacles thrown in their path, but they kept on moving. And one of the ways that we keep on moving is by continuing to be generous and giving generously to God's ministry through our church family. There are several ways to do that. You can give online. You can text to give. Those options are available if you're worshiping with us online. If you just scan the QR code on your screen, it'll take you to a page where you can do whatever you want to do with that. If you're here in the sanctuary, of course, we'll pass the plate in a second, but if you prefer to give electronically, you can scan the QR code on your Connect tab, and it will take you to that same website where you can use one of the electronic options to give. Well, would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we thank you because we know that all that we have and all that we are is a good and gracious and wonderful and abundant gift from your hand. And we pray now that as we return these gifts back to you, that you will bless them and use them to build your kingdom right here at Asbury, in Little Rock, and far beyond. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, Amen.
for the kingdom of heaven belongs to these. At this time, I'd like to invite all of our children forward to share a special message with Brother Hammond.
For Miss Nicole, she's sick today, and so I'm the sub. Will y'all be kind to your sub today, your substitute today? Anyway, well, it's nice to see y'all. Yeah, Friday was Veterans Day. Do y'all know what a veteran is? What's a veteran? I don't think you know. A veteran is somebody. They dedicated themselves to serving our country in that way, to defend us. And I never served in the armed forces, but both of my granddads did. Both of my grandfathers did. My granddad Evans served in the Navy, and he was on a destroyer, which is kind of a ship. And my pawpaw, my grandfather Hammett, see, that's his last name. That's where I got my name. My grandfather Hammett also served in the Navy, and he was at Pearl Harbor after the attack. He went into the service and served there. And I remember they would tell me that they had different missions, and they liked to talk to each other about what they did. My granddad was a gunner, so he worked with the guns on a big destroyer battleship, and. But my pawpaw was a, do you know what it means to censor something? What does it mean? You know, what does that mean? It's like if there's some information in a letter that needs to stay secret, a censor goes in and marks that out. And my pawpaw was, he censored the mail in Pearl Harbor. And so the tool that he used was like a black magic marker. And if somebody accidentally said something that would have let a secret out, he would mark that out. And then he would make sure that the letter went to where it was going. So when I think about Pawpaw and Granddad, I remember that they had, each one of them had a mission, and they had different tools. So in the one case, my granddad had a battleship. In the other case, my pawpaw had a black magic marker. But they had the tools that they needed to accomplish their mission. And churches like that too. Churches like that too. We have a mission to make disciples for Jesus, to help people follow Jesus and to be more and more faithful followers of Jesus. And God gives us the tools that we need. So we have things like worship and prayer and sermons and Bible studies and Sunday school and kids choirs and all of these things to help make disciples of Jesus Christ and to help people grow. And sometimes, just like in war, there are things that happen that are difficult in the life of the church. And the church has been through a lot when you read its history. I mean, we've been through times of persecution and times when we had to go into hiding and things like that. But God always provides what we need in the midst of those trials as well. And so part of what we're talking about during this series, and what Brother Nick is going to be talking about in a minute, is that when things get difficult, then we rely on God and we rely on the tools that God has provided to see us through. Amen? Would you pray with me? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for being with us and for giving us a life-saving mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we pray that you will help each and every one of us to be committed and to finding, identifying, and using the tools that you have provided for us to accomplish your mission in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
And as Charles moves our smart board, and I want to just say that it is a great joy to be back with you this week. Last weekend I was out. I was at Refuge with 17 of our youth. We were up at Shepherd of the Ozarks, and I had a chance to watch the service back later on that day. And when I pulled up the sanctuary service and I saw that the runtime was an hour and 44 minutes, I thought for sure that the video guys had just left the tape rolling. But it turns out that you all did not attempt to beat the Baptist lunch last week. But it was a fantastic service. What a blessing Reverend Wilson was in the remembrance of our saints. And so I'm thankful that I got to watch that as well. And so, Charles, are you in place and ready to go? All right. Go ahead. Done the abridged version of that video. What did you guys think of that video? Did you like it? Okay. Amen. You're going to watch it back like I did last week. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts. We're in chapter 13, verses 42 through 52. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people urged them to speak about these things again on the next Sabbath. When the people in the synagogue were dismissed, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism accompanied Paul and Barnabas, who urged them to remain faithful to the message of God's grace. On the next Sabbath, almost everyone in the city gathered to hear the Lord's word. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were overcome with jealousy. They argued against what Paul was saying by slandering him. Speaking courageously, Paul and Barnabas said, "We had to speak God's word to you first. Since you reject it and show that you are unworthy to receive eternal life, we will turn to the Gentiles. This is what the Lord commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles so that you could bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and honored the Lord's word. Everyone who was appointed for eternal life believed, and the Lord's word was broadcast throughout the entire region. However, the Jews provoked the prominent women among the Gentile God worshipers as well as the city leaders. They instigated others to harass Paul and Barnabas and threw them out of their district. Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet and went to Iconium. Because of the abundant presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, the disciples were overflowing with happiness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, I thank you for this beautiful moment. This moment we find ourselves in together as a community of faith, ready to hear your word. So God, we ask this morning that you take center stage, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are transformed in the way that you call us to be transformed, so that we may be part of the kingdom building you call us to here on earth. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. The people of God said, amen. On a hot summer night in 2019 in the Wardak province of Afghanistan, a Special Operations U.S. Army Ranger raid force began an assault on a compound with enemy targets. As enemy fighters fired back at U.S. forces and the Rangers began to close in on a target, there was a huge explosion which injured three of those Rangers. Amidst rounds of machine gun fire and rockets and grenades, two Ranger combat medics, Army Staff Sergeant Charles Brown and Army Sergeant Ty Abel, leapt into action to save the six American lives that night. Pulling the critically wounded from behind the enemy fire, Bowen and Abel quickly began performing advanced surgical techniques and providing Rangers with blood infusions with the supplies that they had on hand. While the medics were able to stabilize some of the injured, unfortunately, two of the Rangers were losing blood and losing blood fast. Unfortunately, Bowen and Abel had utilized all the blood units they had on them on the other injured service members. And knowing that this was a life or death matter, the two medics decided to attempt the Ranger OLO protocol, in which a volunteer on the battlefield transfers his or her blood to the injured Rangers with the assistance and equipment from the medics. The procedure at the time was relatively new and had never been done in the midst of combat, but Bowen, Abel, and a volunteer blood donor were able to pull it off. As enemy fire continued to rage all around them, the three workers quickly worked to transfer large quantities of blood from the volunteer to the two injured Rangers, effectively saving their lives. Throughout the procedure and other life-saving techniques, the two medics also continually shielded their patients with their own bodies to prevent further injuries from enemy fire. As the wounded were loaded onto the helicopter for evacuation, Abel kept up a steady attack against the enemy to help provide cover. On the battlefield that day, Bowen and Abel treated a fatal hemorrhage, triaged two additional casualties, and tended to several other injuries that night. Their calm demeanors under pressure as they worked to save lives of their fellow soldiers while under fire demonstrated incredible dedication and valor. And their story is one of many that we should honor and remember this weekend as we offer a heartfelt thank you to the brave men and women that have served valiantly in the name of freedom. Now that story, like so many that we hear in battle, is a story of overcoming great obstacles. The portion of this scripture that we are in this morning is part of a larger story that's filled with obstacles. This portion of scripture, which covers Acts 13 and 14, is known as Paul's first missionary journey. As persecution in Jerusalem increased, Christian believers fled and dispersed throughout the region. So Antioch, located in Syria, became a quickly growing church. And around about the year 47, while the church in Antioch was fasting and worshiping, the Holy Spirit came to the people and said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I have called them." That's Acts 13:2. So after praying and laying their hands on them, the church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas out into the unknown, into the uncertain, to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And their mission had incredible moments of success, and many people came to Christ. But it was not easy. They were confronted by a multitude of obstacles, mostly from people. People who were not ready to hear and accept the gospel message, who were jealous of the following that the gospel was creating. So these people resorted to violent and slanderous tactics in an attempt to stop the mission, to the point that Paul and Barnabas felt their personal safety could be in jeopardy. But with the Holy Spirit as their guide, our dynamic duo kept on moving. And why did they do that? Because as we've always learned and discovered, when it is the will of God, it cannot be stopped. Sometimes, friends, the obstacle is the way. I think that as humans, we can be by and large risk averse. We're inclined to lean towards comfort and self-preservation. It's why we tend to do one of two things. We either marvel at great feats of bravery of those who are willing to venture into the unknown, unsure of the outcome, or we criticize them for being foolish. Paul and Barnabas experienced both. There were those who marveled at the life-giving message of salvation that only the gospel can bring us. But there were also those who criticized them. When obstacles are placed before us in life, there are three approaches that we can take. The first is that we can run from them. The second is that we can try to work around them. Or we see that sometimes the only way past an obstacle is to go right through it, to take it head on, to lean into faith, and to trust that God is in control, whatever the outcome may be. Now, I've been asked this morning to share about mission, and specifically youth mission, and what the youth accomplished over the last 3 years. And if you came to our meeting we had over the summer, you probably saw that video. You probably heard some very powerful stories. But there were a couple of things I didn't share that I think are important for you to know. I remember as well as anybody that fateful March day when we closed church due to COVID. And all of us in ministry were scrambling for what to do. How do we continue to minister in this season? And so we pulled the students together and we were on Zoom. And that first Sunday, I had about 20 kids. And we played games, and it was all fun and well. About 6 weeks into it, I get on a Sunday afternoon, and there's one student. And God bless Mark Tudor. He was there, and we had a great conversation for about 5 minutes, and then I realized that we were in big, big trouble. Our youth ministry was dying. And so we had to make a decision. There was an obstacle. We know that the pandemic was an obstacle. But we also, through common sense, knew pretty early on that it did not impact teenagers the same way. And so we were able to come back in about July of 2020 and do ministry on the South Lawn. Our youth continued to gather. They continued to have moments of fellowship. We did a confirmation class where 9 were confirmed in the year 2020. And we saw something pretty incredible start to happen. Because we were faithful, we started to grow. Today, we're going to have a family join the launch service whose youngest daughter is already a member of our church because she went through our confirmation class in 2020 when there was nowhere else for her to do confirmation. sometimes going through the obstacle is the best way. And you saw the videos, and Rachel shared a beautiful testimony this morning, and you're absolutely right about the dirty clothes. And the smell of 15 sets of dirty clothes in a bus for 12 hours is a smell I'll never forget. And I can tell you this morning about all the work we did. Rachel talked about the houses we painted and the ramps we built and the farming we did and the bus rides and the planes and all those things. And I was there for every moment of it. But here's the takeaway. This is what you need to know about what occurred over the last 3 years. It's these moments that I will never forget that showed a change in our students. When we were in Springdale, North Carolina in 2021, when not many groups were traveling and doing mission, we had the task of painting a house. And it was a house covered in lead paint. We had to scrape lead paint in 110-degree weather with hazmat suits on. It was miserable. But we got to Thursday, and Friday, we were leaving. Friday was on the horizon. Showers and your own bed and everything was on the horizon. And I look up, and I don't think Mama Sherry's in here, so don't tell her. But I look up, and Christian Dawson is up on the roof. We weren't supposed to be, but he was. And he looked down at us, and he said, "Guys, we're not leaving until this is done." That's a powerful moment. Because for all reasons, we should have been ready to throw in the towel. And a 17-year-old kid got us focused and got us back on track. I distinctly remember arriving in Puerto Rico, and the day before we got there, I got a phone call from the YouthWorks director to inform me that all of the staff at our location but one had COVID, and that they were going to be isolated for half the week. And so we showed up, and there was one YouthWorks worker, her name was Lydia, and I don't think we'll ever forget her, just trying to do everything. And our students in an unfamiliar place, after many hours of travel, just jumped right in and went to work. They understood what it meant to live out the gospel. Because that's the thing with mission, and that's the thing with sending out. The gospel we have, but it's not just ours to keep. Because what the gospel does is it comes to us on the way to someone in some place else. When you are a child of God, when you follow Jesus Christ, you carry that gospel with you, but you carry it into the lives of others. And we learned on our mission trips that they often mirror some of the same elements that we learned about Paul's first missionary journey. We learned how God calls individuals to become missionaries, which our students have been. We've learned about the importance of having a supportive home church, which this church has been. We learn about the helpfulness of having ministry partners. I think about farming the field in Puerto Rico, and it was down this huge hill that was very steep to go down, and it was so hot. And we come up the hill, and there's a woman at the top, and I'd never seen her before in my life, standing there holding a tub of the best watermelon I've ever had. She gave what she had to give to strangers she didn't know. And because of that moment, we were able to sit with her and eat and get to know her. There were relationships we formed along the way that will leave a lasting impact on everyone's lives. I remember also in Puerto Rico, the other church that was with us was a bunch of kids from Minnesota. And so, for some reason, every boy from Minnesota is 6'4" and blonde. They produce Vikings up there. Their football team is correct. But they thought the coolest thing in the world was calling the hogs, which we taught them how to do. We've got a great video of Clark Cogbill, and I'll share that. It's those moments. It's the things you don't expect. You know the work you're going to do. Paul and Barnabas knew the work they were going to do. They didn't know the impact that it was going to have, even though it got incredibly hard. I wish I could tell you that we went on all these trips and none of our kids got COVID. That would be dishonest. I wish I could tell you that none of our adults got COVID. That would be dishonest. But I will tell you right now, you could ask every single one of them that experienced it, and they would tell you that they wouldn't change it for their life. Sometimes through the obstacle is the only way. And all of that is wonderful, and I'm more than happy to talk about what our students accomplished over the last few years, and I could do that, and we could be here for hours. But what that does is we look back, it also brings us to today, to this moment. And by all measures, while we seem to be through the COVID pandemic and people are finding their way back to church, we think a lot about where we are. I've seen in the last few months people come into this church that I haven't seen in 2 years. And it makes my heart so full of joy to see you. And last week, Reverend Wilson gave a beautiful retrospective of that captured the first 40 years of this body of Christ. But now we find ourselves in a new season, in this new 40, so to speak. And the question is, what does that look like for this church? What is God calling us to? We may not have all the answers to those questions today, but it's going to be awfully exciting to find out. And this week, many of us will take time and we will prayerfully consider the level to which we are going to participate in the mission and ministries of Asbury in the coming year. We will decide the extent of which we will give our time. We will decide where our God-given talents and spiritual gifts are best deployed. And yes, we will decide to what level we will financially support the mission and ministries of the church. And for some, that will be very easy. It will be almost automatic. But for some of us, it will feel like an obstacle. It'll feel like a chore. And some of us may try to just shy away from that obstacle. And that would be very easy to do. It would have been much easier for Paul and Barnabas just to stay in Antioch, where they were loved and cherished. It would have been easier for our students to stay on Zoom in the comfort of their own home. And it is easier at times to be like Moses and ask God to please send someone else. Please make this somebody else's problem. But in those moments, when we think that way, when we feel that way, if we listen, we can hear God's response. I am with you. I am in control. All I ask of you is faith. And for those of you who gave so faithfully during COVID, you've now seen the results of your faithfulness. I encourage you to watch the youth that are in leadership now in the church. I encourage you to come on a Sunday afternoon or a Wednesday night where we have guests coming that just continue to come back. Lives have been changed, and work has been done, and obstacles have been overcome. Our students are different today. They are changed today. They have seen the abundance of God's blessings in their experience, and they have been an abundant blessing for others. And without your faithfulness in giving, that does not occur. So the question is today, how uncomfortable are we willing to be? Are we willing to listen and lean into what God is calling to for us in our individual giving? And when we talk about giving, we talk about financial giving, we always think in terms of financial percentages. If I can just get to 10%, the magic tithe number, and it's a beautiful number. It's a biblical number. It's a perfect number. It has a nice round feel to it. But I'm reminded of a story in Forbes magazine that talked of Hugh and Nancy McFarland, who for 18 years leading up to the article had given 70% of their income. That's a lot. That's extreme. But what if they had viewed 10% as the cap? Imagine the blessings missed if they had stayed in a comfort zone. I've always viewed the goal of giving simply. This is the percentage I am most comfortable with. So now what is my stretch point? How uncomfortable can I be? How uncomfortable am I willing to be? It forces me to step out in my faith and trust the fruits of my faithfulness that will bear in ways I could never imagine. Then once you've figured that out, come be part of the movement. Come to Stone Soup, come on a mission trip. Like Rachel said, you don't have to be a teenager. If you've got an air mattress and a heart, you can come with us. Bring extra clothes. You're welcome to come mentor the youth and the children. You can come to the fellowship dinners, and by all means, come and sell a pumpkin. Come experience God's grace in new and profound ways, because it'll change you more than you think. I imagine that when Paul and Barnabas were in the public square sharing the good news of Jesus Christ while being screamed at and assaulted, they had no idea the depths of what their work was doing. But today, when I look out at you, I look out at a sea of Gentiles, all of whom are impacted by Paul's willingness to be uncomfortable. What big kingdom plan does God have that we have the blessed opportunity to be uncomfortable for? Say all that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. I invite you to now stand and join me in our affirmation of faith. It should be found in your bulletin. We believe in the Most High God, who strengthens us and repays us many more times than we expect. We believe in God, who gives generously and who expects the same from all creatures God has made. We believe in God, whose utmost loving sacrifice is experienced through Jesus Christ, who paid it all. We believe that Jesus Christ consciously and lovingly emptied himself so that we may learn to make sacrifice and live joyfully before God. By Christ's impartial love, we learn to love all those on the margins. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who enables us to represent Jesus to the world. We believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, a new community will be created without labels. We believe all that has been accomplished for deliverance and salvation and is now being lived in flesh, even as God is glorified in heaven.
To become a part of our church family today, you're welcome to do that as we sing this last hymn. If you're joining us online, my email address is there, and if you'd like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that as well. Just shoot me an email and I'll be in touch with you. So let's remain standing now for our hymn of commitment, number 670, Go Forth for God. I want to say thanks once again to the New Directions class for providing the smart board today, and thanks to Charles Galloway for operating it. Let's give him a sign of our appreciation and them. I do want to encourage you next week. You should have received in the mail a covenant form and a pledge card for this coming year. And please do be in prayer about how you're going to be, how you're going to embrace newcomers here at Asbury, how you're going to serve those in need in our community through Asbury, how we're going to care for, how you are going to care for one another in your church family at Asbury, and how you will become more deeply connected to our church family and to our community in the coming year. As you pray for that, please bring your cards back next Sunday and with the covenant forms as well. We will be using those next year, and based on your commitments and where your energy is, that's where we're going to go. Amen? So please take that in that spirit. And now I'm going to invite Brother Nick.
Amen.
To close us.
It's been a joy and a blessing to be with you. I want to give a heartfelt thank you to Rachel for that powerful testimony. A heartfelt thank you to Tristan for serving as our liturgist this morning. I don't know where they grow them this big, but sometimes they just get in that left lane and pass right on by Dad, don't they? All right. Please receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen.